The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back, final hour of the show at 11:02. Randy Corcoran, so good to have you here. And man, oh man, it's good to be back. It was a wonderful week in Salt Lake at the Republican National Committee winter meeting. I came away inspired and impressed by what I've seen just in the short time that I've been involved with the RNC. And one of the things that I learned more details about that I never knew, and I think it was Monica Crowley when she was on the show that brought this to our attention a few weeks ago, that that the Republican National Committee had had its hands tied behind its back and its legs bound, chained to the wall when it came to participating in election integrity for 40 years. A former RNC chair had signed a consent decree based on some allegations, I guess, from the Department of Justice or in some state or whatever. I don't know all the background details, but a judge had maintained control and forbade the RNC from participating in election integrity activities. And that didn't stop until the judge literally died. And since that time, the RNC has built the most impressive, the largest, the most intense election integrity machine in history. And we saw the results of the birth of that particular facet of the RNC with what happened in Virginia. Very, very exciting. Of course, the talk of the town, and we hear this on our sad CBS news breaks, they talk about how, you know, the Republicans formally censured Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And they love to quote this part. Whereas Representatives Cheney and Kinzinger are participating in a Democrat-led persecution, and here's what they like: persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate political discourse. And then they flip to the criminal conduct of a tiny number of people who busted their way into the Capitol and did things that blew the opportunity to see what really went on in this election, but also just created this whole talking point that will not go away. Unfortunately, a couple of Republicans have been willing to jump on the Democrat-led bandwagon and mischaracterize, deprive people of due process. It really just oppose what I think are some of the most important Republican principles. Not violence, not doing damage, none of that, but showing up and peacefully protesting and standing up when you believe that there's something that needs to be brought to the public's attention. And especially not pushing back against the lack of due process that's been heaped on what I refer to and continue to believe are political prisoners still rotting in a D.C. jail. So Liz Cheney from Wyoming is one such representative, Dick Cheney's daughter. Always, you know, thought of her as sort of the, you know, one of the George Bush kind of conservatives. So someone you could at least tolerate being in the Republican Party. Wyoming has only one representative in Congress, so it's very important that they have one who represents their interests and their views and their wants and their needs. And just a few months ago, we shared the story of the Wyoming GOP turning their back on Liz Cheney and censuring her and calling her out for her really anti-Republican stances and aligning herself with Democrats. And so, as I mentioned when Christy Burton Brown was on with us, the chairs of state parties are also members of the RNC, voting members of the RNC. So we all get together when we have these meetings. And I so enjoy getting together with the Wyoming contingent. That's where my deep sea fishing or my ocean fishing Twitter pictures come from. And we just have a good time, a good people. The chair of the Wyoming GOP is a guy named Frank Ethorn, and he joins us now. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. It's an honor to be invited onto your show. Hello, Colorado.
Absolutely. And you made it home okay. That was an intense week, man.
It was. There was a lot of communications needing to be made with the key goal in mind, as always, We need to represent the people, the folks, the grassroots that put us into power to be their voice. And that takes a lot of effort.
I can't imagine what you must have begun hearing as chairman of the Wyoming GOP when Liz Cheney continued to not just, you know, express her opinion. You know, there's a Mitt Romney way of being sort of anti-Republican, anti-America first. And then there's the Liz Cheney get on the committee and drive a bus through way of being opposed to America first, opposed to due process. What was it like as the chair as Liz Cheney began to expose herself and her true colors?
As we read the terminology being used, the identity politics, the politics of personal destruction, we were being labeled as extremists, as radicals. And so we said, what do we stand for? We looked at the timeless principles that we are obligated to represent on behalf of Republicans in Wyoming in a very red state. And we said, well, if these things are being extreme, pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-personal responsibility and individual rights, then I guess the shoe fits, the boot fits, we'll wear it. We're extremists, we're radicals in that regard. We're not going to change what we believe in because the Wyoming people, they believe in us and they're counting on us to be their voice.
I was honored when you reached out to me and asked if I would join in co-sponsoring the resolution against Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. That resolution has morphed a bit, and I've gotten some pushback, some complaints from Republicans who wanted more than just a formal censure. So the resolution that you initially sent to me and that I happily signed on as a co-sponsor, I think you had, what, 50 or 100 co-sponsors on the RNC for this, was a resolution calling for House Minority Leader McCarthy to immediately call a vote to expel Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger from the House Republican Conference. And so obviously that's not what happened. Talk a little bit about the evolution of that resolution and whether you're satisfied with the outcome.
Always need to be satisfied with the outcome. Let me start there because it is an accurate reflection of a supermajority of the members. You were there, Randy. I really appreciate the vote. Wyoming and the neighboring states appreciate what you and your Colorado RNC members do on behalf of your state. I'm very proud to work with you, and we know that trustworthy conservatives abound just within a phone call. And that's a great thing going forward because our America First agenda needs to remain, regardless of who by name is leading it. Those are the timeless principles that we must stand for if we're going to regain and restore our republic. The initial language of the resolution, you always want to start with probably a more aggressive stance, and that can always be tempered. And so to the reflective nature of the majority of the members, that's where that language ended up. You may have been there when the resolutions committee pondered the different wordings and unanimously passed what we have today, and then that there was no objection, no discussion. There were a few nay votes on the final product, but
Those nays
been done.
Frank, those nays almost sounded to me like they were coming from the press in the back of the room. I didn't hear anybody around me or to the sides. I was up front, but I didn't hear anybody close by. It sounded like it was. Anyway, there's always a few naysayers. But what I said in the first hour of the show is just so very important. This is politics. And so there has to be compromise. So you started from a position of we call on McCarthy, and he didn't, you know, there's no, we couldn't order him to do anything. But we were calling on him to expel them from the Republican conference. And it wound up instead being a formal censure. How did that evolution come about? What was the opposition to the first version of the resolution?
There were a couple members that I reached out to that stated, this is a technical issue here. We as one body, the Republican National Committee members, really shouldn't be and cannot be in the business of telling or directing another body how to conduct their business. We wouldn't like it if it was in reverse course. I think those are good points, and that's why we rely on the wisdom of fellow conservatives, fellow Republicans, to take a look at this and say, now, what are the technical, programmatical potential errors, and or just things that need to be changed to a more practical sense, and that's where we wound up. There were a handful of those that stated that precisely, and that was really their only initial objection. They said, you know, I'm going to vote for this, but if I'm going to put my name on a co-sponsorship form, then I'd really like to see that change. And they weren't insistent, just requesting it first. And I think the end effect is still the same. From what I've heard indirectly from many members of Congress, they were waiting for some backing, waiting for support from the RNC, not necessarily a directive, but now we've given them a tool to work with so that they don't have to continue tolerating members in their conference that are working directly against them.
What is it? Does Wyoming suffer from an open primary as Colorado does, where Democrats, where anybody, unaffiliated Democrats, can vote in our primary?
That is absolutely the case. The only prohibition is you can't cross over 14 days prior to the primary and then the day before. But prior to those 14 days and on the day of the election, anybody can change from any party to another, and we've seen the numbers, the crossover from the Democrats, a few independents, and others. They flood into our primary, which is supposed to be a party nominating process, and they affect the outcome.
Without a doubt, and I guess this is a good opportunity to let everybody know that we're having a I think it's one of the most important political events of 2022 next week here in Colorado at the Dunafin Castle, which is up between Morrison and Evergreen. It's Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. We'll have complimentary beer and wine, and we only have 60 tickets available. But my good friend and Donald J. Trump legal advisor John Eastman and I will be announcing the filing of a lawsuit in the United States District Court in Denver to stop the open primary, to challenge and overturn the unconstitutional open primary law here in Colorado. And I don't know if we'll have the suit ready by Friday or not, but it's all in process right now, because we know what Liz Cheney is doing in Wyoming. She is now moving her positions to such a Democrat-supportable position that she wants Democrats. That's how she's going to try and hang on to her seat, is to try and win the primary, by getting Democrats and crossover voters to come in and defeat the conservative who's running against her. So talk a little bit about, do you have a chance of taking out this very powerful incumbent?
It looks like a formidable challenge, yet I think Wyoming is up to it. We have seen an unprecedented amount of feedback from folks who are fed up with not being represented. And more folks are also learning through the state party's efforts to educate that we have seen organized and very well-funded effort to cross over. It's been done through the internet. We've seen out-of-state money and state money both behind these efforts, and it is to funnel Democrat liberal votes to the least conservative Republican candidate, and we expect we'll see it again. We've unsuccessfully lobbied the legislature to make a change, and I think the bottom line is too many Republicans get elected by the crossover, so they're not about to bite the hand that feeds them. And unfortunately, it's a form of corruption that we've not been able to stamp out, not through the legislative process. Excited to hear what you're going to be doing in Colorado, and we need to be considering the same type of action.
Yeah, if people want more information about that, juliebonniewell@gmail.com, juliebonniewell@gmail.com is a place to dig in for some more information. I'll talk more about that later. But right now we're talking with Frank Ethorn, the chairman of the Wyoming State GOP. And when you gave your report at our regional meeting before the general session yesterday, you talked about the primary challenger against Liz Cheney and how she's doing. So give us a little bit of hope and optimism for the opposition.
Yeah, well, we've got who is a Wyoming homegrown product, ranch girl and attorney Harriet Hageman. She has been instrumental in defending the Constitution, property rights, water rights. She's won some very important landmark water rights cases for agriculture in Wyoming. She's helped defend even the smallest landowner with suits against the EPA and some of the unconstitutional water grabs that we've seen. As you and I know, in these western states, water is one of our most precious resources. She was a gubernatorial candidate, and there were some factors in that race that put her third, many that I probably won't go into today. But Harriet is a strong believer in the platform. She was our former national committee woman. The grassroots knows her. This campaign is really starting to set sail. It is gaining momentum. Fundraising figures are looking very strong here recently, a big surge. So she is clearly the front runner, and I would say the only contender running a serious campaign that has formally announced and has the paperwork ready to run a serious campaign.
Well, obviously, we keep our fingers crossed. And when I took a picture of my Let's Go Brandon hat and I put it up on my Twitter page and my Facebook page from the hotel yesterday before I headed off to the airport to come home, and in that post, I said, you know, coming back from an exciting RNC winter meeting and where we you know, voted to formally censure Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And I immediately started getting the responses. That's just Rhino compromise. They should have been expelled from the party. And I commented in the first hour, we would not want 168 members of a governing body of a $1.2 billion now soon to be corporation like the RNC to have the power to remove an elected candidate. Our job is to make rules and to set up the presidential campaign and to set the platform and to raise money and support people to defend election integrity, those kinds of things. But we cannot be given the power to actually remove somebody from being a Republican. So I just don't understand what some of these people think. And that's why I was so happy with this sort of a compromise, but this censure of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, I think it really accomplishes the same thing, because we also had no power to tell Kevin McCarthy what to do. And I'm not sure removing them from the conference sends any more of a message than this formal censure from the RNC.
Well, I would agree, Randy. And what you bring up about the limited powers of these bodies, is there any state that can recall a federally elected official? I don't believe so. We certainly don't have it in Wyoming in any of the state elected positions. And we understand there are prohibitions from even making it statute to recall federally elected officials. So it's got to be done at the ballot box. We've gone out of our way to educate folks in Wyoming and those that are out of state that are calling in, emailing, they're sending donations every day. And we keep hearing this recurring message, kick Liz Cheney out of the Republican Party. And we just have to repeatedly tell people we do not have that power. There is the right to affiliate, and every candidate, every voter has that. There are limitations in some states. We've done everything we can to get the message across that we've been compelled to do by about a 97% to 3% ratio of the feedback we've gotten. Our website almost crashed the day Liz Cheney voted for impeachment of Donald Trump. And from that time, we've had a steady increase where we've had to increase our capabilities to take feedback from folks and try to educate them, try to let them know, here's what we're doing. Here's what our options are. We're exercising each and every one of those on your behalf.
Frank, how long have you been a member of the RNC?
This is year 7 for me, going on my second full term and first partial term. So, yeah, 7 years.
I'm just into my second year now on the RNC, but it is so different from what I expected. And talk for just a minute. We've only got a minute or so, but talk about the evolution that you've seen in the RNC. Is it going the direction you want? Are you as shocked or surprised or pleasantly surprised as I am how many people like you and I are now making the voting decisions on the Republican National Committee?
I would say overall, I'm less and less surprised because the members, by and large, from the 50 states, the six or seven territories, they're patriotic. They believe in our Constitution. They want to stand for the rule of law, and they believe our republic needs saving. This is no longer about a person. It is a movement that I believe purely comes out of the Constitution and individual God-given rights. And so I am less and less surprised with each vote that I see. There's always a constituent-based reason for a member to argue one way or another. But in the end, you saw the unity. I'm seeing that more and more with each vote. I'm really excited to be a part of this body and a part of this movement. I believe the RNC is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, Frank, good luck on ousting Liz Cheney. It'll really send a powerful message to people who are more interested in their careers or getting on, you know, Meet the Depressed and Deface the Nation and some of the Sunday morning shows than standing up for the Republican platform for the clearly America First RNC policies, which were evident and expressed overtly during the multiple speeches and conversations that we had this last week. And I just hope you're successful. You know what, last question, just really, really quick. Were you aware that for the last 40 years that the Republican Party had been legally prohibited from contesting elections where there was suspected voter fraud because of a consent decree?
Yes. Our national committee woman, former Marty Halverson, who served in our state legislature before coming on as national committee woman, she has extensive knowledge in the history of elections in Wyoming and nationally. And so we had some upfront experience in getting educated on what the prohibitions were. That is why I named her as poll watching committee co-chair. She had the experience and the knowledge to move forward, knowing that consent decree had been lifted, and now we can get Republican poll watchers into the polls to be passive reporters and observers. And that's exactly what we did. And there have been all sorts of false accusations as to what our poll watchers.
Let me just tell you, because we're out of time here. But into my second year as RNC committee man, I had no idea we had had our hands tied like that, and that's why the RNC is now creating the most prolific election integrity machine in history. That is just one of the many reasons I'm very excited about what's happening with the GOP. Frank Ethorn, really appreciate your time. It was great to see you. I was promised some fishing when we go to Memphis here in April, so I'm going to hold your buddy there to that, and I'll look forward to seeing you again real soon. Keep us posted. If there's anything we can do here, please let us know.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's 11:24. Lines are full. We'll get back to your calls. Finish the show, just you and me, as we wrap up this Saturday edition. And we're back at 11:30. Man, oh, man. Where does the time go? Looks like we've got about 10 tickets left to the Arapaho Tea Party, eventbrite.com. Just put in Arapaho Tea Party. I fixed all the nonsense that I created when I tried to set up a recurring event. So people who got notices of cancellation and all that, the meeting's not canceled. You just got to go back in and get one of these fresh tickets. And if you can't get in, don't forget to email me at arapahoteaparty@gmail.com. And one of the things that we will do in the Tea Party meeting next Tuesday is really dig into why I'm so excited after this week with the Republican National Committee, the fact that we're taking on the biased debate process, the fact that we formally censured Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, the record fundraising, the fact that this consent decree is behind us now, that we can actually challenge voter fraud, ballot fraud, and all of it. I'll try and get into some of those details here before the end of the show. But with full lines and people who've been patiently waiting for so very long, let's start with Johnny in Denver. Johnny, good morning.
Okay. I didn't know Casper was going to come on and almost say what I said. In 2019, I was at the Cinco de Mayo. DeGette was there, and she had a representative guy to say that the Affordable Care Act was fantastic. But I had friends who are Republicans who said that it wasn't affordable. But I didn't see any other table set up right beside her to say, hey, this is the other side of the story. Then I went to one of the primaries. Seven people showed up, and then they gave me a list of 100 people that were supposed to be there. Now, I couldn't have called them that day and said, hey, you missed our meeting. Where was this list before the meeting to get these 100 people? And I'm over here by West High School. Seven people showed up, a list of 100. I don't know if the other people had another list of 100 people.
Johnny, in the interest of time, these are tremendous points. And what I promised Casper, I suggested he call me next week. We'll connect with Priscilla Ron, who is really handling sort of the grassroots outreach. We've got several months between now and Cinco de Mayo, and maybe we can really, you know, set a standard for Republican participation in things like the Marade and things like Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. Are you involved with your local GOP at all? Could you be a resource to help us call folks? Okay.
Yes. I mean, they gave me a list of 100 people. I'm saying, we're here. Where are these people?
No, well, I know, but that's I'm talking about for the future. And so can you reach out to Priscilla and let her know you'd like to help with the Marade? You know how to do that? The Colorado GOP website?
I'll get there because I still get emails from Democrats saying when their meetings are.
Go to cologop.org, sign up for the emails, and then look around on that website. You'll find the email for our vice chair, Priscilla Ron, and let her know that you want to help or reach out to me, get me your phone number, something like that, so we can put you to work, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Johnny. So much frustration, and I get it. And we're so busy with so many other things, and we miss some of the fertilizing and the seed planting that had it been done a decade ago could be, you know, generating so much fruit. But Donald Trump helped there too. He really opened up the Republican Party for people of color, for people of just all different walks of life and perspectives on life, and we have to take advantage of that. Johnny's line is open, 303-696-1971. We've been celebrating 111 years tomorrow since the birth of Ronald Reagan.
I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
Compare that to the best the Democrats had to offer and for whom they had to cheat to install in the White House.
I don't want to get going because I have to keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing.
It goes so fast.
I don't want to get going because I have to keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing.
It sounds an awful lot like that. Okay, let's, gosh, the lines are on fire. Joan in Lakewood, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. First, I'd like to say thank you for your service and going to the meeting.
Thank you.
A lot of people don't recognize, you know, how much time that takes out of your schedule, your life. And even though you get wined and dined.
they feed us. It was a beautiful hotel, but it does cost money, and you're away from work and family and life, and it's exhausting. It really is. But I enjoyed every minute of it. No complaints here.
So one of the things that I think was a real COVID disaster was the shutting down of the conventions. The convention for Trump, you know, ended up being virtual and was very well done. But there are people that I know that didn't get to go to the convention and they'd been elected. And so anyway, I'm very interested in the convention. So did you vote on a city?
No, this particular week was the presentation of three cities, Milwaukee, Nashville, and Salt Lake. And so each had a night of their own after all of the business was concluded for the day and the dinners were had. Then there was evening festivities where each city made their presentation. And there's a committee that will be making that decision. I think the RNC has to vote to approve it, but there's no way to tell what direction they're going. And in fact, we were warned, don't call these guys, don't try and buy them or influence them, because they're looking at very specific criteria and it's just not going to do any good. So we're going to have to wait and see.
Okay. Is there another city that's in play, or did somebody drop out?
I only attended events for those three cities. So if there are other presentations to be made, other cities in contention, I'm not on that committee. So it's not something I paid close attention to. Man, I'll go to that thing in Joplin, Missouri, if that's where they want to have it, because it's going to be so very important. But
the thing that I just think is that it's so very important that we gather in person.
Yes.
I have attended some hybrid meetings lately here in Jefferson County, and it's not been good. And so I am looking forward to going to Colorado Springs and having some, because there's something about being together in person.
Well, that's why when the new executive committee and some of the new membership of the Colorado GOP was elected, we really put a premium on in-person meetings. And even some of the executive meetings now that are happening are both in person, or for people who are far away, don't want to travel, they can Zoom in as well. But I'm with you. In personal contact, personal persuasion. I mean, that's politics, man. People on the ground trying to get votes and do different things. That's not only the fun, but that's so important a part of everything that we do. So, Joan, thanks for waiting. Thanks for weighing in this morning. God bless.
Bye.
Joan's line is open, 303-696-1971. This consent decree drawing a lot of attention. In 1982, remember, Ronald Reagan was president then, the RNC and the Republican Study Committee entered into a consent decree limiting the RNC's ability to engage in or assist with voter fraud prevention unless the RNC got the court's approval in advance. Since 1982... And the original judge, who obviously hated Republicans, he renewed that thing every single year. It was modified in 87 to define ballot security activities as ballot integrity, ballot security, or other efforts to prevent or remedy voter fraud. Republicans could not do it. And this judge, Dickinson de Beauvoir, who knows if I got that right, even after he retired, he hated us so much, even after he retired, he returned every year for the sole purpose of renewing his 1982 order. He died in 2015, and it still took years to get out from under that thing. So that's why the Republican National Committee now can be so intense and so focused on and is building the largest voter integrity, election integrity machine in history. And to heck with the people who say, don't talk about it. It's not true. The election was solid gold. Colorado's the gold standard. It's absolutely insane. And fortunately, we're not going to stop. All right, 20 minutes to go until 12 o'clock. We've continued to have full lines. In order to give everybody a chance on the other side, we're going to get to our break right now. So I hope you'll stay with us, 303-696-1971. If something opens up, join us. We're here on 710 KNUS. Man, there's no way to get tired nearing the end of this show when George Thorogood pops on. But it's already 11:43, 17 minutes to go until the top of the hour. Bird Talk comes along then, and of course the bookend for live and local political talk here on 710 KNUS, Matt Dunn on Backbone Radio from 4 to 7. Always 3 hours of entertaining education. Just love the weekend lineup here on 710 KNUS. Let's have just a little more Ronald Reagan. Tomorrow would have been his 111th birthday.
You already are the oldest president in history.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Or on a different note.
There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Compared to the babbling buffoon, Biden. Biden, the babbling buffoon.
I don't want to get going because I have to keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing.
All right, we've got full lines, two Jims and a Nick, and we're going to get to every single one of you. Just a couple of quick reminders. Rappo Tea Party near to selling out. I'll really dig into all of the great things going on with the RNC. Two of my projects, one given to me by the conversation we had this morning with Casper Stockham, so glad he called in, was to really create some events for Cinco de Mayo. We blew it on the parade, the MLK parade in Denver. We just blew it as Republicans. No turnout, no enthusiasm, no real messaging that I saw that I'm aware of. So maybe we can elicit some support at the Arapaho Tea Party to really put this thing to work. And the other thing is we have to get someone in every precinct. Every precinct needs to have a precinct committee person to be organizing their neighborhood, to be knocking on doors, to be getting people to caucus, and every single one of those things. So very important. And one way you can go to learn about that is precinctstrategies.com, precinctstrategies.com. And I'm going to see if we can't get more information up on the GOP website about caucus and about getting these precinct positions filled, because that is incredibly important. The Democrats do it so well. We have done it so poorly. And last thing before we go to the phones, March 1 to 5 is the caucuses, depending on what schedule your particular county has. Your county website should have the date of your caucus. And Alexa, who was so kind to remind me this morning and tried to get this in last week, she was going to sign a petition to get a Republican candidate on the ballot. And she forgot that she had changed from Republican to unaffiliated last year in order to sign the petition for the Republican candidate. She needed to change her party affiliation back to Republican. And this applies if you want to be a participant, a voter at caucus, or advance to a congressional assembly or the state assembly. You have to wait 22 days from the updated party affiliation before your vote will be counted. So if you're one of the angry Republicans who left the Republican Party because you didn't believe that we were standing up and fighting, and I know that that's the primary reason people left the Republican Party. It's not Donald Trump mean tweets. It's not the few hundred morons who turned the January 6th protests and rallies into a talking point for Democrats. It's because so many are frustrated with weak Republicans who don't stand up. But you've got to change your affiliation back, and you've got to do it now. Because caucus is here. We are going to be in full-fledged election season before you know it. And if you've ever been up to the Mountain Republicans at the barn in Evergreen, it's such a beautiful place, and it's big. They've got two stories, an upper level, an attic seating level, and the main floor. And they have been packing the place with debates. I helped moderate a sheriff's debate last month. This month, on February 15th, we'll have the Senate candidates there. At least seven of them are confirmed. And I'm really looking forward to that. Reach out to me if you'd like to figure out how to get up there for the Mountain Republicans. They do sell that thing out pretty darn quickly. And now, as promised, let's get back to the phones. Jim in Wheat Ridge, looks like you've been waiting the longest. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's unlikely I'm going to re-register as a Republican. You have to look at what's going on. My taxes went up residentially 14%, 15%, 20%. The steel that I purchased tripled, and that's all before Biden found his way into office. We've got to have representation that does something other than blow hot air, okay? I can no longer march around screaming about libtards and how everything was fake. Unless you all, our so-called leaders, go to the courts, present your evidence that show us that it was all fake, it doesn't make sense to continue asking for donations on a monthly basis. Now, when you look back to the 1980s, the Reagan era, we had much similar to what has gone on now. When Reaganomics was done with my economy, my car cost as much as my house did. So we have got to come up with something other than calling people names. Soon enough, we're going to be referred to as Trump-tards ourselves, okay? We've got to present the evidence, please.
Look at the evidence of the 4 years of the Trump administration. Look at where the economy was. Look at where, well, you don't know it? I mean, you're sitting there, I'm not going to register as a Republican. What are you going to do to make a difference, Jim?
This is turning into a jobs program for, am I gone?
No, not yet.
This is turning into nothing more than a jobs program for lawyers at this point.
What specifically are you talking about?
Not frivolous lawsuits.
What are you talking about?
Present the evidence to the courts. Get someone to take your side.
Of what?
And show that the election was safe.
Ah. 34.
Because during the Trump years, my taxes went up 20%.
Okay, don't repeat yourself. We don't have time. Don't repeat yourself. We don't have time for it.
Help me out.
34 lawsuits going on right now. Paid for by the RNC, big victories, including Supreme Court, to stop what happened in 2020 from happening in 2022, 2024. It's slow in the legal system.
You've got to understand our frustration, don't you, Randy?
I do, man. But where are you going to go? And if you see progress, if you see people like more people like me than people like Mitt Romney now in the Republican Party, why wouldn't you try and support us instead of just calling in and saying, nope, not me?
Because I don't think going the way of Cinco de Mayo and representing brown people who are our employees makes any sense whatsoever.
Wow. That's a racist statement. And now I'm happy to say goodbye to Jim. I had no idea that that's the kind of moron who was trying to make his point on this show. That's just outrageous. Thank God Donald Trump made the Republican Party appealing to all people, man, oh man. And we shouldn't be at places where different groups of people get together. I'm 100% against carving up America into all of these different factions. And I think it's so totally anti-American. But why wouldn't we want to go where people are, people who are naturally aligned with conservative values, who are naturally pro-life, who believe in God, many of whom have spawned their own businesses and worked their way up through the through the trenches, and people who came here legally and want to be a part of the American experiment. Of course we need to be in those communities. I just thought I was having a sort of a interesting philosophical conversation with somebody. I didn't realize I was talking with a racist and an idiot. All right, let's see who's next. Another Jim in Littleton. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy. I think I'm going to change my name.
I tell you, that was embarrassing.
It really is. And, you know, one thing I will say, my son he's in the Marines. And when we went to the graduation, it was very interesting. The largest group that had kids in the Marines in our graduation class were Hispanics. It was far larger than whites. And the blacks were barely represented, but the Hispanic group is really, they were the largest group in there. So just one thing about being patriotic, we know who are patriotic. I mean, from that group alone, but that's not what I called about. Randy, you had said this group that, you know, started in the Capitol, and I agree with you, those that did damage. But how many of those were grandmas that were invited in?
How many of those were invited? Well, that's a good question. They hide 14,000 hours of video. Certainly doors were open. Certainly the police didn't try and stop them in very many cases.
Right. So you only see the ones that broke things and stuff like that, and I agree, those need to be prosecuted. But I believe those were very few. And how many, you know, of those were actually FBI agents that were inviting them in, that were part of the damage? We know Ray Epps has some sort of affiliation with the FBI or something like that, and he was there really instigating it.
We have the video. Yeah, we have video of people who were, for a moment, like Epps, who was FBI's most wanted, then quickly taken off the list, even though he's on video encouraging people to go storm the Capitol, not only the day before, but the day of. And so there are so many unanswered questions, and I despise the people who broke the law, injured people, damaged property, but I will not tolerate the lies about this narrative. It's insane, and we have to push back on it, and we do.
Yeah, well, we need to have actually a real good panel that actually looks at all this stuff versus just going after Trump.
Well, we got to flip the House. We'll do that.
I agree. But, you know, you have Kevin McCarthy, who is not exactly a Trump loyalist. We'll see what happens. Because you know what? I those that are in leadership right now are the rhinos, and we're going to see what they do. If they do nothing, you know, then
Freedom Caucus is growing. The people, many of the candidates who are running in primaries are America First candidates. The RNC, in multiple speeches from leadership, including ones that were public, talking America First policies. It's changing. The tide is changing. And
I got the
music, Jim. I'm so sorry. Good to talk to you. Richard, Nick, so sorry I spent too much time with the moron, Jim, the other Jim. Anyway, I'll see you guys at the Arapo Tea Party Tuesday night. Couple of tickets left. Go to Eventbrite to get those. We'll be broadcasting live in 3 weeks from CPAC. Really looking forward to that. Helping moderate the Republican senatorial campaign debates on February the 15th. And just so many things going on. Instead of calling up and pitching a bitch, offer your help. Give us ideas, the things that we can do to make a difference. That's how we win Colorado. That's how we win back and save a nation. That's it for the show. Always remember, please never forget, I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, God loves you. So do I. See you soon.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.